This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, you already know what the first segment's got to be about. You don't need me to tell you. Obviously, it's going to be Urban Meyer. We'll be talking about that. Also, I think I got a little answer for the whole Jim Tressel, why did he get fired, but Urban Meyer didn't. So like I said, we'll cover all that stuff. I'll give my thoughts on it all. Second segment, the NBA is trying to come up with some... Actually, you know what? Second segment, we'll talk MLB. Third segment, we'll talk NBA. They're trying to come up with some rule changes. I mean, obviously, we've seen rule changes not really be too great in the NFL. NBA, a little bit more progressive, usually do things the right way. But some of them seem kind of out there. So we'll talk about that. And then for the fourth segment, we'll talk about anything else going on in the world of sports. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, they're going to be having their one-on-one match right after Thanksgiving. It's going to be on pay-per-view. If you're watching on BR Live too, but you got to pay for that through pay-per-view. I mean, as much as I don't want people to buy it, I know everyone is. So we'll talk about that along with anything else going on. So, I mean, let's just get right into it. Urban Meyer. Been on paid leave since what? August 5th? Or is it unpaid leave? He was on administrative leave, whatever they call it, for about 2 weeks. Yesterday, we found out his fate. Yesterday, Ohio State Board of Trustees, President and all that, were having a meeting. Took about, 10 hours, I think it was. Urban Meyer was there for some reason. I still don't understand why you have the man you're deciding whether, what you're going to do with his future. Why do you have him there? I mean, I don't know. College football is weird, and we're going to talk about that, too. But either way, they gave their press conference. Urban Meyer suspended for 3 games. Going to be missing the Rutgers game, Oregon State, and then TCU. 3 non-conference games, everyone's been saying. Technically, it's 2 since Rutgers, but everyone's been making the joke. Rutgers play like a mid-major school, or let's go Division II. And it's the truth. I mean, Rutgers is absolutely terrible. So he suspended for those 3 games. Now, my thoughts on the press conference. Actually, we'll take it section by section. My thoughts on the suspension. This... I'm not sure how much was out in the open and how much was understood from this whole situation from both sides. Ohio State fans, Ohio State school, and people who wanted Urban Meyer suspended. I feel like there was a lot more information out there, left out there, that no one looked for or saw, or I guess just ignored. I mean, it's a bit of a sticky situation here, obviously. But Urban Meyer, as far as the suspension, I guess he didn't, I don't know, it was weird. Like, the way Ohio State, worded their investigation and all that, they made it to where a suspension is fitting. If, there was, phrases such as deliberately lying, there was talks about his medication and how he can't remember stuff sometimes, and how he wasn't, he didn't really break any rules. He was just ignorant to the fact, I guess, pretty much. Didn't dig enough, didn't ask enough questions, stuff like that. So the way they worded it was to keep Urban Meyer around, and I guess they succeeded because, like I said, he's only missing the first 3 games. Obviously, there weren't people happy about it. People thought he should have got suspended. I wouldn't have had a problem with him being suspended. Because, I mean, the guy, in the investigation also, it talks about erased text messages. And I think we all know, we've all erased a text from time to time. If you say no, I mean, you might be the best person on the planet, or you're just a flat-out liar. But you delete a text message because you don't want it to be seen. Urban Meyer deleted text messages, asking people how he deletes messages from years ago and all that. Come on now, we're just going to give him the benefit of the doubt? Oh yeah, Urban Meyer just wanted to clean up some space on his some storage on his phone? Come on now. No one deletes text in this day and age. Why? Because you don't see them. Eventually, they all go back. No one's going to scroll back to see them, so there's no reason to delete them. Plus, you delete your text messages, you lose all the other text in the conversation, any funny stuff or anything like that. So no one deletes text in this day and age. You only delete them if you got something to hide. Urban Meyer, I think, lost the benefit of the doubt when he was at Florida. Lest we forget. Let's not forget, dudes were getting arrested day and night. And people say, oh, that's not Urban Meyer's fault. That is the kid's fault for getting suspended. First thing they talk about when they go to recruit. Ma'am, sir, parents of whoever, we'll take care of your son. Keep him out of trouble. Make sure he's in good hands. They all talk about that. And I can only imagine like what kind of speech Herm Edwards is giving to these parents. Because you know Herm Edwards is like legitimately serious. Arizona State, they're going to have about 7:30 p.m. curfews. No Twitter, anything. But getting back to the fact, yeah, that's usually what these coaches are telling these parents. We'll take care of your son. They'll be in good hands. They'll be at school. They'll be on the field. No time for anything else. So that's why it falls on Urban Meyer. Plus, I was doing a little research because 2009 and all that stuff at Florida was years ago. So I was reading up. And there was sources. I can't remember which article I got it from, but nonetheless, they talked to former players and all that, and I think there was a time where Percy Harvin and a couple other guys got suspended for failing a marijuana drug test. They had their first game of the season coming up, and they didn't get suspended technically. Urban Meyer puts a walking boot on them, and again, this is all according to player sources and all that from what I read. Put a walking boot on them, said they're injured and they can't play. They didn't get suspended or whatnot. And a lot of those guys did end up getting suspended and all that, but I mean, the culture Urban Meyer had around that Florida team, it was all bad. I mean, I was reading up, players doing whatever they want. Urban Meyer did have his favorites and all that. Guys weren't getting punished consistently the way everyone else was or anything like that. So, I mean, Urban Meyer, we already know, wasn't the, I guess, greatest coach, overseer at Florida. I don't want to say he was a bad person or anything like that at that time. But, I mean, if you want to call him that, go ahead. So, then we get to Ohio State. Like I said, Urban Meyer doesn't really have the benefit of the doubt with me. I mean, watching his press conference yesterday, everyone's talking about it. Reporter asked him, what does he have to say? Does he, like, apologize to Courtney Smith? I can't remember the exact question or whatnot, but he brought up Courtney Smith. And he says, I'm sorry to everyone who's had to go, like, involved and stuff like that. He didn't directly apologize to Courtney Smith or anything like that. But, I mean, he didn't do himself any favors. Urban Meyer could have saved face a bit here and just looked like he didn't care. Urban Meyer didn't care. That's what it was. Let's be real here. Urban Meyer did not care. Urban Meyer didn't want to be there. Urban Meyer didn't think he should have been suspended. He just didn't care. And, I mean, we all saw it. I'd say the AD was probably showing a bit more as to remorse and all that. But Urban Meyer, not really too fond of him, like I said. Yet Florida, now here. I mean, usually when this stuff follows you around, it's consistent. And one problem with Urban Meyer is that Zach Smith should have never been hired. He should have never been there, and it should have been avoided. Talked about it, the hiring process and all that. The AD says that Meyer never told him about Smith's prior incident in 2009 as far as domestic abuse. Urban Meyer should have. I get that Urban Meyer is really close with Smith's family. I think his grandfather might have been his mentor. It was his father, either one. It was one of those. Maybe it's one of those kinds, like, it's like, pretty much watching his back, looking out for him. But when it comes to that stuff, you can't really do that. So Urban Meyer not saying a word when they were going through the hiring process with Zach Smith is a problem. Again, if Smith isn't on here, then I guess Urban Meyer. And that's one thing too. I mean, this whole story completely got shifted to Urban Meyer instead of being a problem of domestic abuse. I don't want to say it became an Urban Meyer witch hunt because he was a problem here, but I feel like there was a bigger issue at hand here. If you understand what I'm saying. But either way, I mean, nothing you can do now. Guy suspended for 3 games, didn't end up getting fired. Zach Smith is gone. I feel like everyone, I guess, just got what they deserved, I guess, amongst Urban Meyer, the AD, and Zach Smith. Zach Smith, like I said, should have never been on that staff. Urban Meyer should have been smarter. And, I mean, come on with the whole he wasn't deliberately lying and all that. Don't give me that baloney. I mean, really? Also, Ohio State basically hiring in-house investigators. Come on now. So now, we talk about college football as a whole, Jim Tressel and all that. So Jim Tressel, everyone's bringing up, why did he get fired? Why didn't he just get suspended? Why did Urban Meyer just get suspended and not fired? There's this thing in the world people are really obsessed with. It's called money. Urban Meyer and Ohio State, I guarantee, are bringing in much, much more millions than Jim Tressel was when he was there with Ohio State. And college football, I think I'm starting to come to terms with why I'm not a huge college football fan and why I'm a bigger fan of the NFL. Both organizations is terrible, or NCAA and NFL terrible, but mainly talking about college sports and all that. It's all corrupt. I mean, you look at it, all that matters in college football is winning and making money. Okay, and I look at the fans of college football, looking at Ohio State fans for this instance, not necessarily just specifying on them, but just from this one instance. When Brett McMurphy just first reported the story, you already had fans talking about Urban Meyer didn't do anything. Brett McMurphy's one of the worst college football journalists. He doesn't know anything. He's a liar, all that. Before anything came out, just blindly supporting the coach. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't understand how these fans can get so attached and be so just, like I said, just turn the blind eye and just instantly defend no matter what before any facts have really came out. And I mean, if we're going to keep it real here, a lot of these guys and fans, guys and girls, a lot of them probably couldn't even get into the schools they root for. And they're just blindly showing their support. That's what I don't like about college football. No one's really held accountable. It's all corrupt. Urban Meyer was a, 8-5 or whatever every season, he would have got fired. But since Urban Meyer's got 3 national championships, is basically one of the best head coaches in the world right now amongst college football. Like I said, bringing in money, program's doing well. You're not going to fire him. That's what it's all about here, money. It's a bit ridiculous, but it is what it is, I guess. So, I guess now, I mean, honestly, all we could do is just move on from this situation. I mean, it seems that Urban Meyer, probably, if you look deep down into it, should have been fired. Won't be. Zach Smith's gone. The media's going to get over this story in a couple, maybe a week or so, week and a half, 2 weeks at the most. Story's going to be Urban Meyer coming back after the TCU game. What's Ohio State going to do? Ohio State wins ball games. We move on. It's a cycle. So, I don't know. College football, like I said, the NCAA, it's all corrupt. But people turn their blind eye to it. So, that's all I got to say about that. Next up, we'll be talking MLB, so stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. First segment, we talked about the whole Urban Meyer situation. So now we move on, talk MLB. Yesterday we talked about the Red Sox, them being on a 3-game losing streak, whether or not it was panic time. Obviously it wasn't. They ended up beating the Indians last night, also beat them today, and we'll talk about that. They beat the Indians yesterday 10-4. Carlos Carrasco started off decent, but then once the fourth inning got here, I mean, he gave up four runs that inning, and that was basically all she wrote there. Exits after the fourth, and the Red Sox just added on, what, four more runs after that? Ended up winning 10-4, like I said. Brian Johnson also pitched yesterday. Started off shaky. Didn't even go five innings, but, I mean, when you got Brian Johnson and you're the Red Sox, you don't really expect him to go five innings. That's not the type of pitcher he is. He's not going to be a guy in the postseason rotation or anything like that. So, yeah, he goes four innings. Well pitched into the fifth. Only got one out. Gave up two runs there. Three earned runs, I should say. So, yeah, Red Sox won there. Bullpen did well to keep it pretty much the distance. Matt Barnes coming away with the win. Carlos Carrasco with the loss. Carlos Carrasco's really struggled against the Red Sox, too. I mean, over his career. But you're looking at it. They played today. David Price also pitched in that one. David Price went eight innings, I believe it was. Red Sox ended up winning 7-0. So, I think we can all calm down a bit, trying to take the crown off of them as far as being the best team in baseball right now. Cleveland, though, I'd say it did impress me here in this series, splitting with Boston, obviously. And, like, Cleveland's been flying under the radar, so this was a good series for them to get a couple in. But let's see if there's any news going on in the MLB. Right now, the Dodgers are in an absolute slump. It is ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what happened to this team. I don't. Kenley Jansen can't pitch anymore. I mean, it's not what they were planning for. But I mean, let's be real here. Let's talk about the Dodgers for a bit. The Dodgers, they are the Toronto Raptors. They are Peyton Manning for the majority of his career. Meaning, great regular season teams usually, but when the playoffs get here, they stink it up. Now, more times, and Peyton Manning, I think Peyton Manning, we'll remove him from this comparison. Let's just compare him to the Raptors. I mean, sometimes they look great during the regular season, give you high expectations, then they come up short. And I feel like the Dodgers' MO, probably since the last time they've won the World Series, which was back, way back when in the 80s. Was it 88? Might have been 88. I mean, all they do is come short. Trade deadline this year. You get Manny Machado, Ryan Dozier. You're coming up short. Not even sure they're going to make the playoffs. I doubt they make the playoffs. I mean, let's look at the standings right now. We're competing for the top spot in the NL West for a lot of the season and just seemingly fell off. Right now, they're 4.5 back of the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are hot right now. They're 3 games back of the Rockies. Rockies are playing good baseball. How about we check out the wild card? Maybe that's a better situation for them. They're going to add it. 3.5 back of the second spot Brewers. I mean, it's not really great. Plus, you got a lot of good teams ahead of you, Phillies, Rockies. So, I'm not really sure what is it with that team. For some reason, every time they seem to go all in, always come up short. It just seems like they're coming up shorter than usual, meaning they're probably not even going to make the playoffs. You're going to be losing Manny Machado, too. I highly doubt he re-signs with the Dodgers. So, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening with this team. But, like I said, it's just their MO has been, we fall up short, and that's all it is. I mean, obviously, bringing on Machado was a World Series winning move. I mean, look at last year. Came up short. Every year, come up short. Sometimes it's just how it is for these teams. They're the Clippers. They're the Clippers and they're the Raptors. Perfect. Clippers had all kinds of talent on those teams. I'm sorry to get all NBA on this segment, but it's a decent comparison. Clippers, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, JJ Redick, Blake Griffin, bunch of solid players, good head coach in Doc Rivers. I mean, looked like they had enough to go to the finals, but always came up short. I'm not trying to bag on Dodgers fans or anything, or Dodgers the team, but it's the truth if you really look deep into it. I mean, Dodger fans might be mad at it, but come on. Some teams, it's just the way they are, like the A's. They'll have a hot season or two, won't do much in the playoffs, then trade away all their players. That's just the way it is. So let's see what else is currently going on in the MLB. Yankees, another player hitting the DL, Aroldis Chapman. Got tendonitis in his knee. I mean, they lost, what, 9-3 to the Marlins yesterday? That's not really part of Derek Jeter's plan here. I mean, he shipped off Giancarlo Stanton for basically nothing. Figured he was just trying to help the Yankees there, but yeah, they ended up losing. Like I said, I think it was 9-3. Lance Lynn, his first bad start with the Yankees since he got traded there. Kind of like a Nathan Eovaldi thing. Couple of good starts and then just run really bad one. But, I mean, you look at the Yankees, they just got to limp through. That's all you got to do right now. I think they've done enough to build themselves a sizable lead in the wild card to, I guess, get through this little problem. I mean, Stanton's been hitting well. So is Hicks. Greg Bird is absolutely terrible when it comes to hitting the baseball. So, I mean, the Yankees, they still got talent, but like I said, it's like really on a thread now. They can't really afford to lose any more guys. And like I said, they got to limp through it. I mean, I'd say the division is out of reach. Wild card, you want to hold on to that top spot just so you get the home field advantage at Yankee Stadium, whether you're playing the Astros or the A's. And I mean, that's got to be tough playing in the wild card round, and you got to go against Houston, who won the World Series last year, A's team who was just absolutely ridiculously hot and no one knows why. I mean, it's crazy. So, we'll see what happens with the Yankees, but like I said, and their problem is too, they can't beat these bad teams. I don't know why. I think they've done relatively well against Boston. They've both been pretty even against each other. I mean, the Yankees got nearly 80 wins for a reason. They don't lose to the Baltimores of the league, the Tampa Bay Rays of the league, the Marlins right here. Maybe they're up there with Boston. That's what it is, I think. Boston's been handling the top competition, doing well, but also making slight work of the sorry teams of the MLB. I mean, you really shouldn't be struggling against these teams here. But I guess it's baseball, and I mean, baseball's weird. You can't really predict what goes on. Actually, let me look. That reminds me. Let me look at my beginning of the season standing predictions, what I had. I believe I had Boston winning the AL East, Yankees in the wild card, so that's working out. I did have the Indians in the Central, the Astros in the West. Only bad pick was I had Minnesota winning the second wild card spot there. National League, I think I had the Nationals. I think I had the Nationals winning the division. I think I had the Phillies in the wild card. Cubs winning the Central. And then if I'm mistaken, I think I had the I think it was the Diamondbacks winning the division. The Rockies finishing the wild card, I think. I can't remember exactly. I have to go back and listen to that episode. But I'd say I'm doing pretty well. But either way, let's see what was going on yesterday for the rest of the MLB scores. Obviously, it's not just the Yankees, Red Sox that are playing all the time. But I mean, I see people get mad about that too, that they're always on Sunday Night Baseball. You guys got to realize how this stuff works. Yankees and Red Sox got massive fan bases. They're going to bring in the ratings and dollars. That's why it happens. Sorry, your little team from, I mean, where? Sorry, Milwaukee. You guys don't play on national TV too much. Milwaukee doesn't have a big rating or market. It is what it is. It's the way it just happens. But yesterday for Wednesday, Blue Jays beat the Orioles 6-0. White Sox beat the Twins 7-3. Brewers beat the Reds 4-0. A's dropped one against the Rangers 4-2. Astros beat the Mariners 10-7. Astros were up 9-1 in that game, so the Mariners did well to give them a bit of a scare, but I mean, scaring is not going to get you wins. Nationals beat the Phillies 8-7. Phillies are on a bit of a slump here. Braves beat the Pirates 2-1. The Braves are not on a slump. Braves are actually playing really well. Like I said, Red Sox beat the Indians 10-4. Cubs beat the Tigers 8-2. Mets beat the Giants 5-3. Man. The season went really bad for the Giants after that trade deadline, let me tell you. Like I said, Marlins beat the Yankees 9-3 there. Rays beat the Royals 6-3. Rockies beat the Padres 6-2. Diamondbacks beat the Angels 5-1. Cardinals once again beating the Dodgers 3-1. Let's look at today's games. Looking at the ones that are currently in progress. Padres, Rockies currently top 5. 0-0 there. Phillies beat the Nationals 2-0. Aaron Nola versus Max Scherzer, probably two of the best pitchers in the National League. This could have been a game that maybe tipped the Cy Young race. I mean, Nola come out with a shutout here. What more can you ask of the guy? And Scherzer pitched well also. Didn't really give up too many hits. Phillies ended the game with only 3 hits. So, I mean, I think everyone got what they wanted there, except for the Nationals fans, obviously. Like I said, Red Sox won 7-0 against the Indians. Red Sox fans got to get off of David Price. Dude has been absolutely on fire lately. I get there's a whole entitlement thing where David Price needs to be whatever you want him to be, but it doesn't really work that way, so there's that. Tigers beat the White Sox 7-2. Giants beat the Mets 3-1. Poor Jacob DeGrom. Dude's got a 1.71 ERA, and his team just stinks, so he can't get any wins. Those are all the games that have taken place today. We got Braves, Marlins starting up, Royals, Rays continuing, Cubs, Reds, A's, Twins. So those are the games going on later tonight. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be heading over to the NBA. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. The NBA is so cruel, man. What I mean by that, you look at the preseason schedule, you see they're going back to Seattle. There's going to be a game played there. You look, oh, that's nice. Seattle gets a basketball game. Sucks that it stinks that they don't have a team, but at least they'll have a game to watch. Who's playing? The Warriors and Kings. Seattle gets to see their old player, Kevin Durant. And they also get to see the Kings, who were supposed to be moving to Seattle. That never happened. I mean, when are we just going to move the Clippers over there? I mean, let's be real here. We know fans of the NBA don't really understand why the Clippers play in LA. It's the Lakers' city. Leave it at that. The Clippers don't need to be there. I'm not even sure Clippers fans like the fact that they're in LA. Move them to Seattle. It's that easy. I mean, why not? I saw that Steve Ballmer, the owner, wants to move them to Inglewood. It's still too close. It's right there. What are you going to become, the Inglewood Clippers? I mean, come on now. Go to Seattle already. No one wants you guys in LA. It's harsh, but it's true. I mean, it's bad enough that sometimes you got to play with the Laker banners up there. Come on now. Some pride. But either way, I mean, I guess in all seriousness, it'll be nice for Seattle to see Kevin Durant once again. I'm sure Kevin Durant's going to enjoy it. Honestly, Seattle's probably the only city that has a bunch of fans that still, like, all universally just love Kevin Durant. Not universally, that's not the right word. But you get what I'm saying. I don't think there's anyone in Seattle that really hates Kevin Durant. Supposed to lead their franchise. They get moved to Oklahoma City. I think that's what's going to end up happening once Seattle ends up getting a team again. Kevin Durant will return back. And you know what? That's how he saves his legacy, going to Seattle. Or you go play for like the Charlotte Hornets and just basically try and lead them on his own. I guess that's what everyone wants, right? Kevin Durant to just be a leader. And that's one thing, too. You can't really count on these guys to be leaders, even though they're one of the, like, some of them are the best players in the NBA. Kevin Durant's not a leader. He's not an alpha. And I'm not trying to say that in a bad way or anything like that. It's just the truth. Steph Curry is the alpha on that team. He's the face. He's the leader. Some guys just can't be alphas, and it's fine. Russell Westbrook, alpha. Chris Paul, I think he struggles with that power. Blake Griffin, I don't really see him like that. I think he's more so a guy. He's not a leader. As like DeAndre Jordan. LeBron, obviously, alpha. Kawhi Leonard. I don't know about Kawhi Leonard. Are we sure he can lead a team? I think he can. Yeah. I don't want to question too much. Just the guy is just... He doesn't do anything. He just goes out and plays basketball. It's ridiculous. Like, you get what I mean. But, yeah, you can't expect these guys to be leaders. But anyway, NBA trying to change up some rules. They might be doing a little too much here. So they're trying to change up the clear path rule. So, clear path to the basket, they say. would be a play in these three instances. Personal fouls committed on any offensive player during his team's transition scoring opportunity. When the foul occurs, the ball is ahead of the tip of the circle in the backcourt. No defensive player is ahead of the offensive player with the scoring opportunity that the offensive player is in control of the ball or a pass to him has been released. The defensive foul deprives the offensive team of transition scoring opportunity. So there's that. NBA also says there's a rule that could eliminate the need that a play starts in the backcourt. Let's see, referees no longer need to make judgment calls. There's also one where the NBA, instead of getting an off, like if it hits the rim, a shot hits the rim and the offense gets the ball, like they get an offensive rebound, the shot clock goes back to 24. They're saying it might just do it to where they reset it to 14. Like, why? What's the point of that? I don't get that. Why not just keep it at 24? Honestly, what's the rationale of changing it from 24 to 14? Like, I don't understand. I don't think that changing it, like leaving it, like the shot clock going back to 24 after an offensive rebound really slows the game up or anything like that. I don't get why we're punishing the team offensive rebounding, giving them less time now, because maybe Robin Lopez or Brook Lopez couldn't get a rebound. And I use them because, I mean, those dudes are about 8 feet tall but refuse to get in down low. For some reason, they think they're three-point shooters, and it's more so Brook Lopez. Robin Lopez is just kind of out there with his afro. Brook Lopez thinks he's, I don't know, like Ray Allen or something. The dude will take threes and does not rebound the ball. He'll come down with like 5 rebounds a game or anything like that, but for his height, the dude needs to be about 10 double digits at least in rebounding. So, I mean, the NBA is trying to change rules. Clear path one. I mean, just as long as I can say, oh, yeah, that's a clear path foul, and it is one, that's fine. The shot clock rule, I don't understand that. They also expanded the definition of the hostile act. So that way, you can use instant replay more. I mean, I guess that's good. But like I said, I don't understand the whole, if you get an offensive rebound, it's now 14 seconds instead of 24. They're going to be voting for the rule changes on September 20th and the 21st. Need 2/3 majority to pass. Oh, they say that the changing it to 14 seconds after an offensive rebound will increase shot attempts. I mean, a few more? 5 more shot attempts? 6 more shot attempts? How's that going to create more shot attempts? It's just going to get a quicker shot off. You're still going to get... That makes no sense to me. All right, let's dissect this one. So the NBA says that they're thinking of changing the rule to where if you get an offensive rebound, the clock resets to 14 rather than 24. Why? Because it'll increase shot attempts. The only way, maybe they got to be thinking like faster shot attempt here. Because either way, you're still getting one shot up per 24 seconds. The only way you get another shot up is if you get the offensive rebound. This is all kind of redundant, isn't it? Am I just my mind in a pretzel right now or something? I'm being serious. You look at it. You get one shot per 24 seconds. If your team comes up with the offensive rebound, you get another possession. You will also get another shot. How does that switch it up? It's just a faster shot up now because you have less time. I mean, the only way I guess you increase shot attempts is if you make a rule where it's better to get offensive rebounds, like where it makes it more easy. I don't know. Like I said, my mind just might be in a pretzel and I'm just not getting it and you guys aren't. You're just screaming at your phones or car radios or whatever, but I don't get that. I don't get the whole more shot attempts. That doesn't make sense to me. And like I said, I could be missing something here, but I'm a bit confused. So let's see, anything else going on in the world of basketball? I believe that's pretty much it right now. August, I guess, is the July in the NBA, meaning July in the NFL is absolutely just completely boring. Nothing's going on. NFL just handing out suspensions. Guys are getting arrested here in the NBA. August is basically, I mean, nothing's happening. I guess September might be that way also, but let's see. Kyrie Irving got a new name. Let's check out this story right here. You're going through a naming ceremony in North Dakota by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced. Kyrie Irving is exploring. I'll say that. Yeah, so his new name is Little Mountain. That's the name they gave him. I like Kyrie Irving, how he does this stuff. I mean, opens up the world a little bit more. Dude's just exploring. People give him a lot of grief for it for some reason. People always talk about the flat earth thing. Kyrie Irving doesn't believe the earth is flat. Kyrie Irving just questions stuff. That's no problem. I mean, really, we've gone our whole lives basically listening to what older people have told us. No one really questions anything. That's a bit dangerous. Me, I try to question as much as I can. Not to the flat earth extent, but basically understanding why I'm being told this and understanding why it's true or finding out that it's not and I've been lied to. So, like I said, I don't have a problem with Kyrie Irving going out exploring. I have no problem with him saying the earth is flat. And like I said, he doesn't really think the earth is flat. He's more so questioning it. But, you know, that's not going to create the headline. So, that's all I got to say about that. Now we move on. In the next segment, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So, stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So, we're just going to get into this fourth segment. We've talked about the whole Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods match supposed to be happening. It is Thanksgiving weekend in Vegas. I'm looking at the flyer right now. It's got a lot going on. I'm getting the kind of feeling like this is kind of like a boxing poster. You got two fighters on here. It's kind of structured that way with the lettering and all that. The font, I should say. It's also reminding me like an old Western most wanted person type of flyer. Given the top font where it says the match. Also the color of Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. I mean, this is a money grab. You guys know that, right? Like, this is a money grab. Because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be on pay-per-view. And I'm trying to tell myself no one's going to buy this stuff because people are smarter than that, but people are going to buy it. You guys are going to buy it. I mean, I guess maybe a few years ago it would have made sense. And I guess this is kind of reminding me of Floyd versus Manny Pacquiao. Everyone wanted that year, wanted that fight 5 years before it happened. I'm sure everyone wanted Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson to play each other. Maybe I'll go 10 years before it happened, given we got to give some leeway for Tiger Woods in this little incident that one time, that one Thanksgiving weekend. That happened on Thanksgiving, right? I think it did. Man, Tiger worked himself up, but I mean, it's going to be on BR Live, Bleacher Report's little live streaming thing, but again, you got to buy it through there still. I guess this it kind of takes away from it, man. I would have watched Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson, but there's no way in the world I'm taking money out and buying it. There's no way I'm giving my card information to pay-per-view to buy This isn't a fight. I only pay for boxing and UFC fights. You think I'm going to pay to watch two people golf? And I mean, on the surface, you think, well, yeah, there's no way people are going to buy this, but you know there are. It's ridiculous. And I mean, you had anyone else there besides Tiger Woods? Yeah, no one's buying it. You do Rory McIlroy versus Phil Mickelson, no one's paying a cent. But since it's Tiger, I mean, it's going to get buys. And I'm curious how many buys, too. I wonder, like, what's the bar we're setting at for this? Do you think 100,000 buys is right? Or do you think, like, I have no clue where to set the bar at here. I mean, because you figure Tiger Woods gets millions of views when it comes to the majors and all that. I'm thinking, no, they're not. I don't know. This is tough. You got to think of all the factors. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving. Everyone's going to be spending their money buying stuff because it's on sale. Well, maybe that does help Tiger. People have more money to buy the pay-per-view. It's tough. I feel like Vegas. Vegas is the perfect place to do it at, though. I feel like in Vegas, they don't really abide by the rules that the rest of the country does. Like, Vegas is absolutely ridiculous. I've only been once. I was like a little kid, but I think I've learned enough to know. Vegas is just Vegas. That's all it is. You don't really claim it. But we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, like I said, people are going to buy it. I'm not sure really what the bar is set at as far as how many pay-per-view buys would be a success. I say, I guess, 100,000, but even then, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of people buying to watch two people play golf. So we'll see how that goes. But like I said, I am disappointed. I wish it was like on NBC or something like that. Would have been much funner that way. Also, I would have watched it. But whatever, Tiger, you don't want me to, I won't. Fine, who cares? So we look, and remember, Paul George was supposed to be a Los Angeles Laker. At least that's what I was told for like the last 2 years. That didn't happen. Paul George signed with the Thunder as soon as he could, literally. I guess the Lakers weren't too happy about it. They were, quote, pissed, unquote, that they didn't have the opportunity to pitch to him. Paul George said LA was mad at him, that he didn't give Magic Johnson a meeting. He said he gets it, but says he knew where he wanted to be, didn't want to waste people's time. I paraphrase that quote. Nothing wrong with Paul George not giving LA a meeting. Nothing at all. Nothing wrong with it. What he just said on that podcast makes all the sense in the world. You know you're going somewhere. Why are you going to go and waste time? That's pointless. Lakers fans yelling, oh, we got LeBron. You got to realize, these players, it's not all about winning for them. And I think that's something that kind of gets lost. Fans think these guys are out here trying to win championships and all that. And sure, some of them are. Some of them are just trying to enjoy their time in the NBA and get paid. Paul George might be one of those guys. He already did his time with Indiana, leading them. Got him to an Eastern Conference Finals a couple of times. Now, he says he enjoys playing with Russell Westbrook. Says Russell Westbrook makes him a better player. They seem to be good friends. Plus, he's making a lot of money there. There's no problem with it. More power to you. I mean, you're really going to get mad at someone for wanting to enjoy where they work? And think about that. If you're a fan and you get mad at players for going where they want to go, you're really getting mad at someone for going to a place where they're choosing to work for the next couple of years. You're mad at them for choosing where they want to do their next job. Does that make sense at all? No, it doesn't. But I guess people get mad. And I'm curious to see how Oklahoma City does this season. I really think Melo not being there is going to make them so much better. And I try not to hate Melo or anything like that, and I don't. But, I mean, let's be real here. The guy isn't that good anymore. Maybe it was just one of those where it's like he doesn't really fit in with Oklahoma City, and that could be the case. We'll see what he does with Thunder, but, I mean, come on now. Let's see what else is currently going on in the world of sports. Jarvis Landry made some comments in an interview we'll probably get into real quick, unless there's anything else I need to talk about. So, Jarvis Landry, the guy can't stop talking about the Miami Dolphins. Says that Adam Gase traded him to Cleveland so that way his career could die. I mean, from what I saw, Adam Gase and the Dolphins let Jarvis Landry negotiate with his agent where, like, him and his agent negotiated where he was going to go, like, talk to different teams and all that. Jarvis Landry had the permission to go out and talk to different teams along with his agent, like I said. So that doesn't make sense to me. But Jarvis Landry, like I said, I mean, since he's left Miami, he's just been talking about him constantly. Like, it's literally a weekly occurrence. There's something new. And then one of them was about Ryan Tannehill said he doesn't work with his receivers during the summer. That seemed to be false. And then there's a couple of other things. It's been more so taking shots at the quarterback, but now here's the Adam Gase shot here. I like Jarvis Landry. I think he's a top 10 receiver. Not too many people agree with that. I don't think too many people watch him. I mean, he was easily the best player on the Dolphins offense the last couple seasons. And people will say, oh, that doesn't mean much. Yeah, I get what you're saying there. But, I mean, I've seen the guy. He makes plays. Sure, he doesn't run deep routes or anything like that, but he's a nice yards after the catch type of guy. So, there's that. I think that's pretty much going on, all that's going on in sports right now. We've covered it all. I mean, the big story out there is Urban Meyer. Not too many people are happy about it. And you're seeing ESPN, they're kind of going against Urban Meyer here, kind of making him out to be the bad guy. And I understand. I get it. But he's only out 3 games, and like I said, once he's back, story's going to be forgotten. Does this affect his legacy? The way college football is right now, no. It's too corrupt. And until we get things fixed up, it'll always be that way. So that's all I got to say about that. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Today we talked Urban Meyer, MLB, NBA. And then for this segment, we talked about a bunch of different topics. So like I said, thanks for listening to today's show. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.